Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
So it's good morning from sunny Noosa here in Queensland, Australia. So welcome to all of our listeners today. And I thought it would be a really great opportunity to talk about intuition today and all of the amazing aspects of intuition and the wonderful things it can do for us when we decide to actually listen to ourselves. And today I'm looking out the window. It's a crystal clear day. We had our very first night with some winter chill to the air. For those of you in North America, I don't think it's quite the chill that you guys would be used to. So we were talking about, 24 degrees Fahrenheit, maybe 30, I don't know. But anyway, it was a bit cooler than it has been. But today I woke up to an absolutely stunning blue sky, and everything is sparkling with an amazing kind of energy. And there are, I suspect, several reasons for that. One of them just because I'm living in a beautiful part of the world. But another one is because this week I actually picked up my long-awaited Mind Your Feet book. So the show now has the book to go with the show, and the book has got the show to go with the book, which is really, really exciting. The other thing that's even more exciting for us is that today I've managed to entice as my guest the amazing Jessica Mulcahy. So Jessica, welcome, and welcome to Mind Your Feet radio show.
Thank you, Helen, and good morning to you.
It's just exciting, really exciting to have you here on the show with us, Jess, because you've got a really, really interesting story to tell, because you're now a professional medium, psychic, am I correct in using those terms?
Yes, there's many terms that can be used, but I generally use a professional psychic intuitive and medium and spiritual mentor as well, for helping people with their own spiritual path and developing their own gifts.
Fantastic. Now, listeners, if you would like to call in and talk to us and ask questions of Jess at any time, the number for our North American guests is 646-716-7979, or you can join us on chat, or you can also Facebook message me with any questions that you might have. So we'll look forward to hearing from you, and I will keep an eye out to see if anybody's got questions. But one of the things that I first wanted to draw to your attention is that Jess hasn't always worked in this field. And I first came across Jess probably about 9 months ago. And the first interaction that I had with her was where she was talking about the relationship of the psychic intuitive world to our everyday lives and our business lives. And we were talking about the fact that in Australia particularly, it receives far less recognition than it does in parts of Europe and the USA. And the interesting thing about that is that what Jess is all about, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Jess, but what Jess is all about is actually assisting you to understand yourself sufficiently that you're able to really take your personal life and or your business life into the next dimension. And as you know, at Mind Your Feet, we're all about living a life well lived, and we're all about living into your greater purpose and the ways that you can be the best that you can be. So I thought today we would start off by talking to Jess about her journey from first understanding that she had a gift and being aware of that gift through what I understand has been quite a painful process to the reconnection to the gift. So, Jess, can we start off with a little bit of that story? Would you like to share that with us, please?
Yeah, sure. I guess I always thought from a very early age that I was a bit different, and that I could sense spirit and actually, in a way, predict some things that would happen, conversations or situations in life. And at an early age, at around 7 and 8 years old, I actually switched my gifts off after an experience at school where I witnessed one of my classmates' father come and say goodbye, and got into trouble for that because at the time it wasn't known that he'd passed away. So after experiencing that, it was actually an opportunity for me to just be a kid and connect at that level, but always had a very strong people reading ability. I was always able to read between the lines and you know, understand that there was a lot of words unsaid even from an early age. That actually led me into my first career, which was recruitment. I worked in recruitment both in the UK and in Australia, and was very successful at it. And I think a lot of that had to do with my ability to really intuitively know the right person for the right job, and had very happy clients. So I did that for 16 years. After 16 years, though, I was beginning to feel disconnected with life and that there was more to my life than just the 9-to-5 grind. So I actually quit the corporate world and started working with a charity in an administration role. And I think that's really when I started to reconnect back into my spirit. I started meditating a lot. And then I was very blessed to have my daughter. And really, it was about me deciding then that I wanted to be able to spend time with my child and watch her grow and not just work the really long hours to support us both. So I started to reconnect really with some spiritual groups. I was led by, I was following a great fellow psychic in Australia who created a safe group on Facebook for us to connect and talk about our development. And it was from there really that my gifts really did begin to blossom. I was reading tarot and then very quickly created my own Facebook page and was guided by spirit and connected to spirit to develop my own reading style, start doing psychic intuitive readings. I can remember very clearly the first time I had my real medium reading. It was working with a lady I'd known for a while, and her grandmother stepped forward and she stayed with me for a while to help me develop those medium skills. And from there, really, it's just been a journey of learning to have a holistic approach to my life. I have chronic illness, so that's been using those holistic skills has been great because I know when things aren't great in my mind, that my body responds to that. I know the power of meditation, and I know the power of really having somebody give you that clarity in life that perhaps you just need somebody to give you an answer to. So thoroughly enjoy my connection through reading and also working with people who have an ability, because everybody has an ability, and helping them to tap into that and connect back to themselves so that they can really start to trust themselves again.
Fantastic. So I'm intrigued about how you can actually go about the process of turning off your intuitive skills, because I know that many of us who are in that group that don't, or that maybe haven't until recently, felt that they have a strong intuition. Many of us have never are only now learning to turn it on. Whereas it must be quite a unique situation where you know that you have it and then you have to go about turning it off. So how could you actually do that?
It was really a process of ignoring, to be honest. It was turning the higher connection off through just not listening to my gut and not listening to spirits that was around me. And just they were always there in the background, but it was a process of no longer acknowledging them and really just disconnecting from that higher ability that we all have. You know, and it led me down many, many paths, ignoring my intuition. But yeah, when you really want to switch it off and you really want to ignore what's going on around you, it's actually quite simple to do.
So I imagine it's not surprising then that you had chronic illness, because turning off something that's so powerful is really, in a way, even when it's done for the right reasons, it's actually quite a challenge for our body, well, for our whole body, mind and spirit to do that, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I started suffering really with chronic illness from around the age of 12. So it was quite clear early on that I was going to struggle. And I absolutely agree with you that there's moments when, even now dealing with chronic illness, that I know that it's because I'm not listening, and I need to take time out. And I think, you know, sadly with our lives being 24/7, a lot of the time now, it's difficult to do, but I trust when spirit says to me, it's time to go rest and it's time to sleep, that that's something that I have to do, because otherwise it will just push me into flares and all those types of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've come across other people who have had it, maybe not exactly the same kind of journey, and certainly not been as keenly aware of their intuitive skills as you were at a very young age. But I have also come across people who have really become seriously ill simply because they haven't listened to what their body was saying to them. And so anybody who's out there and listening and has a question for us, please feel free to pop in and share your particular story, because I know we all have a story along those lines. So Jess, when you decided that you were going to when you were working in the corporate world, it sounds to me like there was at least some of that intuition allowed back into the job, if you like, because finding the right person for the job is more than just skill at recruiting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It was. You know, looking back on it now, I mean, I didn't realise at the time what I was actually doing, but I always had very strong client relationships, understanding their business and their needs, probably sometimes even better than they did. I remember fighting quite hard for a couple of candidates for clients, and in the end they just said, look, I'll just trust your decision because you're quite keen on this one. So, but it was just an ability to know, even just CV screening. I was always known as quite the fast CV screener, and that was because I believed there's more to people than what's on a piece of paper. So it was more about telephone calls and connecting with a person away from that paper. But yeah, I just had an innate ability, I think, to interview very quickly and know whether they would be the right fit energetically. Looking at it now, but also their personality and their own dreams and goals, and would they actually fit in with the client? So it wasn't just about putting a bum on a seat. It was more about making sure that fit would be a long-term prospect. You know, doing myself out of a job in the process by making sure people stayed in their roles for a long time. But it was definitely, and it was always a gut feeling for me. It was always intuitively I knew that they would fit. I could usually tell the client that within, you know, which client that they would actually hire, even if I put three or four candidates forward. So yeah, it was not knowing it at that particular time, but I think that's where a lot of my success came from, was relying on my own ability to read people and make sure that they were the right fit.
And I think that's a really important aspect of intuition that majority of people have, if they choose to listen to it, is that we are able, to some extent, able to read people if we allow ourselves again to listen to ourselves. And I know for me, one of the things that I've found is that the times I get myself into trouble is when I ignore what I know to be true, and that's where my intuition has actually kicked in. And I'm getting some sort of signal that, no, this is actually not the right situation for me. Either it's not the right place to be, or I'm not with the right people, or I'm not working with the client that is a good fit for me. And when that happens, it causes all sorts of interesting little challenges that we have to deal with.
Absolutely.
So tell me,
it just throws up more challenge for you, really.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Mm.
So when you started that process of reconnecting at a deeper level to your intuition, how did you go about that process? Did you use mindfulness? Did you you did mention meditation. So how did you go about that?
I had always, I'd actually been given meditation as a tool probably 5 years prior to I actually started using it, as an opportunity really to quieten the mind and to slow the pace down of the mind chatter that I was experiencing at that time. So for me, it was a lot of trial and error. It was a lot of time on YouTube, just putting in meditations, finding some guided meditations, but I actually found that wasn't the best meditation style for me. So I ended up just finding some pieces of music with no words that I really enjoyed. I was balancing doing a degree with a young child, well, a baby at that stage. So I actually needed that time at least once a day to just sit and be quiet. And that's really, mm-hmm. I think, that meditation process, I just noticed more and more often that I was going off into places that perhaps other people weren't experiencing when they meditate. But it was about finding the right one that fit me. I'm not a person who can sit 4 hours on end meditating. So I actually broke up my meditation and did them in sort of two slots per day, and just got into the rhythm of it and was relaxed about the process rather than worrying, am I doing this right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was about finding the right fit. And for me, that was music, and different types of music, like Native American flute music, Celtic music, and just plain natural sounds as well, that you can also get on YouTube, just to quieten that mind.
Mm-hmm. And so out of that transition process, what finally spurred you on to start? You mentioned reading tarot and moving into that space again.
It was, I'd had a deck of tarot with me since I was 18, and it's actually the same deck I've had with me. It's travelled all around the world with me, and I'd always used it just to do some basic readings for friends, and also when I needed some direction, I would sit down with my tarot and pull my cards, and I just became a part of a group where people were developing. And I had the opportunity really to start doing some readings for other people. And it was a challenge for me because I actually wanted to see whether this was, if I was just imagining it, which is what a lot of people think when they start on their development of psychic ability, or whether I actually mm-hmm. had a gift. And I think initially it was very much a confidence issue. And then I was lucky enough, it started really resonating with people, and more people. And, you know, it was after, I think, probably about 3 months of just doing card readings that I was told intuitively to put my cards down and just start reading people and give them advice around certain aspects of their life. And it just continued to resonate for them. So I knew building that confidence and trusting myself, that's really where the process started to reconnect.
Fantastic, because that is another thing that I hear quite consistently when I'm talking with people who are learning to reconnect to their intuition, and that may be specifically their intuition as it relates to them or their immediate family, but that's learning to trust it, and then more importantly, learning to trust that if we don't follow it, there will be, usually there's consequences of some kind as a result, because we know best, even though we think we don't know best. Can you explain to, because I'm curious, and I suspect if I'm curious, maybe I've got the odd listener out there who might also be curious, what the difference is between people who are empaths and people who are really connected to spirit and can, as you say, read other people?
Mm-hmm. Well, an empath is really an individual who has, it's really like collecting emotions from other people. So, for example, walking into a mall or going to a hospital, a lot of empaths really struggle doing that because they'll walk in and they'll just feel bombarded energetically of other people's emotions. So empath is very much based around a strong emotional connection energetically. Whereas intuitives and psychics, a lot of them are empaths as well. But it's also an ability to connect at a higher level to guides, to spirit, and to be able to decipher the life path, I think is probably the easiest way of saying it, and to be able to decipher the energy around that individual, around what's going on, what confusion they're experiencing in some of the situations that are happening in their life, and being able to relate that to them in a way that they can understand. So empaths are very much really take on the emotions, whereas psychics and psychic mediums have the ability to read those emotions and read the energy as well, not just the emotion, to be able to give predictions or clarity around events.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It's actually a really good way of showing the distinction, and it also explains to what happens there, because there is, it must be extremely difficult to be consistently picking up on other people's emotions, and I imagine one would have to really protect themselves so that it didn't become overwhelming all the time.
And that's you know, for empaths, it's a real struggle. They can become very isolated because they struggle to go out into public places. And sometimes it's hard to sit and know whether it's your emotion or somebody that is close to you. So I know a lot of empaths do struggle with that. And yes, there's a level of protection. It's also learning that you're very much in control of any of your gifts, psychic or empath gifts, and knowing that you can switch them off if you need to, but also learning to accept that actually that's not my emotion, that's somebody else's, and take yourself off and do some grounding work as well. And any empath that I work with, I say to them, you have to get into a habit 2 or 3 times a day, just getting outside and really grounding your energy and allowing that excess energy from other people and those emotions from other people to leave you, so that you're much better equipped to deal with your own emotions.
Yeah, that's excellent advice, because from the world of archetypes that I work with, one of the things that I'm aware of is that the people who, many empaths are also people pleasers, and that may be because of past life work or because of other combinations of archetypes, or because of the way they've been, their lives have progressed, and they burn out. Because of the, because they don't take that time, as you suggest, to actually separate themselves away from other, and also identify which emotions specifically are theirs and which are those of other people. Because really, it's not our business, is it, to take on other people's emotions unless we're very specifically asked to observe them, and to assist them to work through them.
And one of the ethics that I work with is that I will never read for somebody that hasn't given me permission, because it's your energy, and they're your emotions, and it's your life, and it's none of my business, unless you invite me to help you. It's not my business to go around just reading people. It's also exhausting, so you have to have those boundaries in place. So otherwise you end up very tired, and just really run down.
Okay, so would you like to tell us a little bit about some of the different types of work that you've been doing, and maybe an example for us, if you have an example you can share, without breaching confidentiality? just tell us a little bit about the type of work that you now do with your clients, because it sounds fascinating. And I know, listeners, I've also had the experience of working with Jess, and tomorrow I'm really excited because I actually get to meet her in person for the very first time down in Sydney, so which is going to be just fantastic. So, listeners, if you would like to call in or chat to us, please do so. So for North America, it's 646-716-7979, or you can find us on the chat or also on Facebook, and we'd love to hear from you. So please, Jess, tell us a little bit about your programs and what you do.
Okay. I work from a number of different perspectives. So there's the reading side of my business, so that's doing psychic intuitive work. So that's very much about giving you clarity in the present moment. I don't predict a lot of future events, but what I actually do is give advice around what to turn around in your life to start achieving the things that you want in life. I do, and that work is really based around sort of like the key issues, health, money, love, fertility. And then I also do readings for past life. That's an aspect of my development sort of in the past 12 months, as a lot of blocks and challenges that keep repeating in an individual's life are actually from past life soul essences. So they keep popping up to try and stop you from going down a certain path, especially if you're not connecting to yourself and really listening to that intuition. The universe will keep throwing up those blocks and challenges until you actually break through that or understand it. I also do medium connections. So I actually do medium connection for animals as well as for people, which is exciting. It's a part of my work I don't do a lot of, simply because it does take a lot of energy to do those readings. But it's something I get excited about, being able to give that sense of peace to people's past loved ones, that they are very much at peace and pass on messages, sometimes some very strange ones, but it's an exciting part of my work. I actually also do some holistic counselling. So I have worked with some individuals with anxiety and panic disorders. I've also worked with some clinically depressed people as well, and really work on building and working through the individual issues that they have, but also more than that, giving them the tools to actually start coping and to actually start embracing life again and getting out there and challenging themselves again without being able to move into the anxiety state. I also do a lot of work with those that are really seeking to develop their spiritual skills, and I do that in a coaching capacity and also in group work. And it starts very basic. It's getting people comfortable with listening to themselves and really tapping into their intuition, because that's where it all starts. It's listening to your gut, and then mm-hmm. developing them so that they can start connecting to spirit guides, working with their soul guides, and really giving them the confidence and that backup to start either their own businesses or to start doing some readings. It depends where the individual wants to go. And this year I launched the LightPath Spiritual School, which is an online platform for people to start doing some basic and intermediate work, with advanced programs coming out shortly. And of course I'm doing live workshops as well now. So it's an opportunity really to sit and have that hands-on experience with me, so that I'm with you live, and if there's issues or things start coming up, that I'm there actually to help through that process. So it's quite a wide area of work that I do, and it's really tailored to the individual client. I'm also a Reiki master, but it's actually, I use that as a healing tool rather than actually doing Reiki, mm-hmm. as it's a great tool to use to help people shift blocks, and especially if they're feeling poorly, or they're going through a particular crisis, it's a great tool for me to use when I'm in a reading with them. So there's a lot there.
Absolutely, yes. And tell me, I know that you have... how people can find you?
I am available on Facebook. I have The Light Path Oz, AUS, which is my main platform. It's about 11,000 people there at the moment, so it's becoming quite the community.
Wow.
And people have the opportunity to share some of their experiences, and it's always a safe place wherever I am. I'm quite strict on who comes on and who joins in. I also have a website, thelightpathoz.com, where it has all of my readings and all of the work I do available. And I'm also available in a group platform as well, TLP Masters, which is really for sort of intermediate to advanced spiritual workers looking for a platform really to have a safe place to develop themselves and also to develop their mm-hmm. business.
Right, okay. So there's lots of different options that are available for listeners that are interested in contacting you and working with you. So mm-hmm. if you could give us an example, perhaps, of somebody that you've worked with and the type of, let's say, a block or something that's... Because it's not just personal, is it? It can actually also have an impact on your business.
Absolutely. for example, somebody that I worked with had been going through... It was really a bit of a... what they approached me about was their inability to get the finances running smoothly within their business. And after an initial consultation, sort of after the first 15 minutes, it became very apparent that it wasn't actually a this life block that was stopping them from attracting the finances and the money that they needed in their business for it to grow. Rather, it was actually, it was from a past life, and it was a combination of some poverty vows from having been in religious orders in past lives. But it was also the fact that they had had wealth before and life hadn't gone very well for them. So it was very much about giving them the information around those past lives so that they were able to heal from those and also to speak mm-hmm. to those past lives and actually say, you know, it's 2016 now and I'm ready to take the bull by the horns and I appreciate you throwing up these blocks and challenges, but I'm ready to move past that now. To achieve really the soul contract that they had established at the beginning of this life. And it's amazing to watch that the moments of clarity really, because it gives information is power. And once you understand where something's coming from, it's much easier to move forward from it. And it's exciting because I look at her business now and she's thriving. She's got more confidence in her business. There's still things that pop up for her, but she's finding that when she has those real moments of doubt, that she can sit quietly with it and really communicate at a soul level to say it's okay for us to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fantastic, because everybody has doubts and we do have those moments where we look at it as if at what's going on, and it just seems to be this never ending set of lessons rather than progress. And it's always really good to understand what it is.
And it's better to, you know, the way I look at it is, you know, the more things that come up, it means the more things you're clearing. Because sometimes mm-hmm. you can sit there going, you know, when's it going to end? When will I actually have that clear run for a while? And it's usually when you are digging quite deep at a spiritual level, things just keep coming up that you need to clear and move on. But that's a good sign, because if you're moving on to different challenges and blocks each time, that means you're beginning to really clear some of the stuff that's holding you back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in terms of how people can start that process of connecting to their intuition, I mean, my suggestion in my book and in the type of coaching work I do is that it's really important to start with that stillness. So it's starting with initially mindfulness, which is a good introduction to meditation for people who tell me, well, I don't sit still, I can't do that. I mean, we can all find a way where we can actually be still for 5 minutes And if we can be still for 5 minutes, even once a day, that's a start. And if we can be still for 5 minutes twice a day, that's a really good way to start that process of, you know, the discipline of meditation. Now, you mentioned that for you, sound works really well. For me, I find I like the absolute silence, but I've discovered that I like being able to be somewhere near where there's a lot of greenery around me or down by the water. And I found that even just going for a walk along the beach or near the beach and being aware of 1 foot at a time, it becomes a form of mindfulness. And I think you'd probably agree with me, it's that process of first of all, giving yourself permission to be still for a little while.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the key thing. It's actually, it's not allowing the excuses to run your life anymore. And it's taking back that control. You know, going for a walk on the beach is considered a form of movement meditation. You know, putting a piece of music on and dancing your heart out for 5 minutes, singing at the top of your lungs is also considered a form of movement meditation. So there's so many different ways that you can get started, but it's not allowing the excuses to take control anymore. You know, saying I'm too busy, but you're sitting down watching TV for half an hour. You can carve that little 5 or 10 minute space out of your schedule to create it. And the key thing is action. It's actually following through. And especially when it comes to intuition, is you'll never be able to trust yourself unless you test yourself. And allow yourself to listen. And that's where that mindfulness and being still comes from, is that ability to listen to some of the things that, you know, your soul is trying to tell you. Part of your intuition is your soul giving you your directions. And a lot of us feel lost. And that's why having that stillness allows that intuition to come through to give you direction.
Yeah, I had an interesting experience of that because I did a whole lot of moving around, you know, moved house, moved business, all sorts of stuff, was moved at the beginning of the year. And I found that I had got out of the habit of being as diligent as necessary with my meditation. And as soon as I actually started to put the structure back in, the ideas started to flow again. And it's really interesting because out of it, there is quite insistent idea that keeps popping up, which is a business idea completely unrelated to everything that I do. But it's really interesting to notice how it keeps showing up and now to the point where it wants my attention. And it's something that I stress to businesses or to people who are in a career or a business that they don't like and they're looking to move and they keep saying to me, I don't know what to do. But in fact, if they start that process of being still, the ideas, the gut starts throwing up ideas. And often they're ideas that are so far out of left field that we're inclined to dismiss them, but often they're the ones that are probably the right path for us to follow.
It's signs as well, and that's the thing. When you're quiet and you're still and ideas start coming, all of a sudden signs start popping up for you, and they're sent to you to give you that clarity. You start, you know, all of a sudden that topic starts coming up a lot on Facebook. People are talking about it. All of a sudden it might be on the news or you start hearing it on the radio. And that's, you know, that's kind of the universe supporting that gut instinct. So, and it comes from stopping long enough to really listen. And it's even throwing your hands up sometimes when you do have those new ideas, thinking, gosh, that's a bit left field. Ask for signs, ask for clarity. You know, you might be presented with a psychic to give you a reading. You might be given the opportunity to read a new book, or somebody refers you along to a coach. You know, follow those signs because they will help you to really achieve your soul's purpose, because that's what all those little ideas are, is you fulfilling actually what you're here for.
Yes, and I find so many people dismiss them because they are out of left field, and people get so attached to what they think they're here to do or what they should be doing or what their family wants them to do. that it's actually really important to acknowledge those things, because often they go right back to childhood or possibly a previous life where there's a thing that the person longs to do and life has taken them in a different direction. And so have you got a particular offer that you would like to make to listeners? We usually don't put a dollar value on it because of the complexity of the different time zones that we work on, but have you got something that people might like to look at on your site that you would direct them to as a way for them to start to understand what their soul contract is and what their purpose is and how important their intuition is in that context?
I'd encourage people to have a look at sort of the especially the beginners and the intermediate courses I have available on my spiritual school. There's actually a couple of mini courses there as well, specifically around meditation. And there's a second mini course, which is around self-love. I created those mini courses because of the importance of meditation and learning to place your values and your needs higher up the priority list. And I know the importance of that. I'm a mother. I'm a single mum. So my child always, for me, comes first. But I have learned over the years that I must have that time where it's all just about me. And there's a basic beginner's course, which really gets you in touch with your intuition, giving intuition exercises, and also gets you to understand energy and working with energy and actually establishing some boundaries around that, learning to protect yourself, learning to do your grounding, and information there about some of the more archangels, some of the guides that you can start connecting with and start utilizing those higher tools when you're looking for answers. That's part of the beginner's course, and the intermediate course goes into a lot more detail about connection work and chakras and really beginning to understand some of the deeper layers of the spiritual work.
Fantastic. So would you like to give people your contact details again so they know where to come to find you?
Yep, it's the spiritual school actually has its own site, but it's a rather long one. So what I will do is direct people to my Facebook page. So that's www.facebook.com/lightpathoz, A-U-S. That'll bring up my page, and what I will do is actually make sure that the link is available for any of the listeners to be able to tap on the spiritual school, and they can go and have a look and get a feel for which course they may like to use to start developing their own skills.
Fantastic. That'll be really good. Now, I know that tomorrow you're actually launching a whole new thing for you, and I happen to know that a couple of the people who have encouraged you to do that, not mentioning any names at all. So how about you tell us a little bit about that, because that's going to be really exciting.
Yes, I'm so excited about it. It's very much a new chapter in my work. I'm running a live workshop tomorrow, based on intuition, energy, and really getting people connected. I'm going to be doing an energy upgrade for those people attending, and then in the afternoon, I'm actually going to do some live reading. So it's actually a real combination of my work. Because I really believe in the power of being back in touch with your own spiritual and your own abilities. And I'm an absolute believer that everybody has the ability to do this work. It's just a matter of really connecting and trusting that you have the skills to do it. So, it's a group of, I'm very lucky, I've got a group of around 15 people coming. So it's called A Day with Jess, and I called it that specifically so that it's an informal way of really being introduced to accepting your skills and actually starting to use them. So yes, new chapter.
Fantastic.
Very fun. Yeah.
Now, I believe that you're running in Sydney, and I believe you're also going to be running one in Brisbane. Is that the case?
Yes, I'm going to be doing Brisbane and Melbourne. I'm hoping to get those dates out, I would imagine, sort of in the next 4 weeks. I'm just coordinating some flight details as to times I can fly in and out. But and then I will be running an advanced workshop in Sydney again later in the year. So there's about 4 or 5 coming up.
Fantastic. So that's going to be a really exciting thing, and also very different from you, from what you've been doing in the past, because people will actually have they'll have access to you in person, because unless we happen to live in the location, we actually don't get to see you except via Skype or Zoom. Yeah. So that's going to be a really whole different world, isn't it?
It is, and you know, the face-to-face work, and even with face-to-face readings, there's always just something really beautiful about being able to connect with an individual. You know, Skype and Zoom and everything were amazing. They give me an ability to speak with people all around the world all the time for their readings. But being able to be in my local area and actually be able to tune in at that energy level is much stronger when it's face-to-face. So it's exciting. And it's nice to step out from behind the computer. And, you know, we're human beings. We need human interaction. And that's what we're here for, is the human life. So it's nice to be able to spend time with like-minded people.
It absolutely is. I was at a lecture last week where we were talking about the importance of transcendence. And, yes, I know that's slightly... slightly nerdy, I think, would be the word for it. But it was actually a philosophical lecture, and it was based on an observation that somebody had made about how people have lost their connection to that spiritual world, because the church, in Australia at least, is no longer playing the same kind of importance that it did in everybody's lives, you know, even 15, 20 years ago. And it was really interesting, because the suggestion there was around the power of meditation and mindfulness, but it was also about using that to connect to our own ability to transcend, so our own connection to spirit. And the thought occurred to me at the time is that so few people know how to do it, so that in effect, when somebody like yourself comes out from behind the computer screen and runs a day like you're going to run, it actually gives us all an opportunity to have some connection to that transcendence. So we actually get a connection between body, mind and spirit, and, you know, between earth and spirit. And that's a really, really important part of the work that people with your skill have, that I think is probably not at the moment recognised, because it's been an industry, if you like, that has only, it's been a, you know, a hidden industry. It's now becoming an industry, not necessarily always with the right intention. Yes. And yet it's still not recognised for its ability to provide that part of life that is missing for so many people. And when you talk about, for example, how it's, you know, 5 minutes instead of watching television, one of the things I noticed is that once I actually started my mindfulness and meditation practice in earnest, I had virtually no time for television, because the message in television was all negative or dreary. And so what you're talking about is that ability to wake us up and keep us connected and keep us awake so that we can actually be the best we can be. And for that, I take my hat off to you, because it's a powerful piece of work that you're doing.
It is, when you put it in those terms.
But you do get a recording of this, Tess, so you can remember it.
I'll keep that on the loop and replay that quite often, I think, Helen. Thank you. Yeah, it is, and it comes from, you know, we are connected 24/7, and something I coach a lot of my mentorees is, you know, there is absolutely no reason for you to have a TV in your bedroom. There's no reason to have a computer in your bedroom, and there's absolutely no reason for you to have your mobile phone in your bedroom. You know, it's learning to disconnect. We've got all of these beautiful connection tools that connect us globally, but essentially we've forgotten how to connect to ourselves. And it's not about, you know, sitting on your smartphone all night. it's about saying, actually, no, tonight I'll leave the phone in the lounge room and buy an old alarm clock because there's plenty of them around. Use the traditional mm-hmm. alarm clock to wake yourself up and have that period of time where it's, you know, an hour or so before you go to bed where you can actually sit and do some gratitude work and do a bit of meditating and talk to your partner or listen to your kids sleeping or whatever it is that keeps you connected and actually reconnect back to yourself even at the end of a small day rather than watching TV and jumping straight into bed and checking everything on your iPhone and then going to sleep. And people wonder why they have disturbed sleep and they're feeling tired every day. And we've just got to learn to slow down again and connect.
Yes, I agree with that. And the other thing, earlier on you mentioned how you do some medium work and reconnect people to their pets that have passed. And that immediately brought to mind that, you know, our pets are constantly in the present moment. Now, they may never self-actualise, but there's a lot to be said for simply being able to be present. I think that would do me. To be permanently present would be great.
I mean, watching a cat watch a butterfly is amazing, you know. It's just completely in the moment. It's not worrying about, I mean, all right, they sit there at about 3:30 wondering where dinner is, but, you know, their life is a lot less complicated, and because of that, they're happier, and that's why they're great therapy for us.
Yes, exactly, because they, they're naturally still when they're left to their own devices. I've noticed many a time that one of my cats in particular likes to do meditation when I do meditation, and he'll come and sit right beside me, tuck his paws in, purrs for a little while, and then even the purring stops. He's just completely still. But even just to watch them in the way that they might choose to be in the sunshine, and I have times where I think, why am I watching my cat being in the sun? Why don't I actually go out there and be in the sun with him? Because he's actually got the right point, and he's always got the best spot with a lovely piece of breeze and so forth. Okay, so we've just got a few more minutes. So what I'd like to ask, if I may, is that you just sum up what your message is to people around using their intuition. And again, just give us one more reference back to your site so that they know where to find you, because I'm sure there's going to be lots of people who want to know more. So your suggest tips.
For intuition? Okay, well, you know, intuition is really about connection back to yourself. It's about learning to get rid of the mind chatter, and it's learning to disconnect from the opinions of others as well and really start trusting your own journey and your own gut instinct. It's there for a reason to start listening to it. It's more about just having an opportunity to switch off the outside world and actually bring yourself back into you and your family so that you're more connected to your life, and it gives you joy and it gives you a sense of peace and quiet. You can find me on my website www.thelightpathoz.com, or you can find me on Facebook www.facebook.com/lightpathoz.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Jess, for joining us today. It's been absolutely amazing to have the opportunity to talk to you about intuition and mindfulness meditation as well, and to share your insights about it. So, you know, listeners, I really do encourage you to have a look at Jess's website or Facebook group, because I know that the people who've worked with her speak very highly of her. And Jess, it's just amazing the work that you're doing to bring substance and structure to your industry with your training courses and your readings and now particularly with your day events. So I'm really looking forward to being one of the first to actually come to one of your day events. That's going to be fantastic.
Thank you.
Listeners, listeners, I'd like to actually let you know that you can now buy Mind Your Feet, the book. So Mind Your Feet, a step-by-step blueprint to a life well lived, on either www.mindyourfeet.thebooks.com or from www.helenryan.com.au. So please just hop along there. At the moment we have a special price of $15.95 Australian dollars plus postage. So I'm not sure what the current conversion is for our US readers, but it's a good buy at that price. So stay tuned for it. Very shortly there's also going to be Mind Your Feet Facebook group, and I'll be posting regular information about my take on mindfulness and also on various aspects of the coaching opportunities that are available to you. So my approach is coaching based on mindfulness and use of the archetypes together with the eight steps of action that are in Mind Your Feet. And they're really designed, again, to support you to get in touch with what really works for you and to be the best that you can be. And I think my take on intuition is that one of the things that I personally discovered was once I started learning to listen to intuition was just how much clearer life became quite quickly, because most of the time the choices that we make from intuition are completely spot on accurate for us. Now, in another half an hour or so, you'll also be able to catch me on Blab, where Michael Brooks and I will be chatting about Mind Your Feet, so you'll actually be able to see Helen Ryan in person, and Mind Your Feet, the book, you'll be able to see me proudly waving that, as it's my very first book. So I encourage, if you've got time, people to come over to that, to their site and just take a look at it. And it also contains a chapter about intuition, which I'm actually calling the learning to listen to your gut feel, because as Jess has shared with us, often it actually does show up as a gut feel. Also, I think the intuition for women will show up from time to time. We either have a little flash of an idea, or we have a recurring nagging one, as I have recently with my little business idea. And it will also show up for us sometimes as if we've got something sitting on our shoulder, or a little flash of light, or sometimes almost as if we've got an animal favour or spirit nearer. So there are many ways it can show up to us, but the important thing there is that we want to be able to listen to it and take notice of it and act on it and not be afraid of it. And I think the important thing is, if you find that there are a few ideas and you can't get any clarity about which is the one that seems to be the most important, that we actually just write them all down and just keep a little watch on what's going on. Anyway, listeners, I'd like to say a big thank you once again to Jessica Mulcahy for having joined us on Mind Your Feet today, and wish all of you a very mindful week. Join us on the upcoming Blab if you have time to do that, and if not, I'll be seeing you in 2 weeks' time with a really interesting man called Tim Ball, who will be sharing with us his experiences from the Maori perspective of how to actually become more aware of who you are and to live in the moment. So thank you, everybody, and I will see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you, Helen.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.